People hate to be sold, but they love to buy. The essence of stop acting like a seller and start thinking like a buyer is that to succeed in sales, you need to transform a selling experience into a buying experience. You do that by asking great questions that uncover whether a fit exists between what your customer needs and what you have to offer. In this book, you'll learn the Delta Method: develop, engage, learn, tell, and ask. It's far more powerful than any slick sales technique, and you can start using it today. The five rules of buying. Acuff tells us that there are five rules of buying. These are the foundation that the rest of the book is based on. Rule number one: you will sell significantly more if you think like a buyer than if you act like a seller. Rule number two: the quality of your business is directly linked to the desire of your prospective customer to want to have a conversation with you. Rule number three: the size of your business is directly linked to your ability to ask a customer questions that engender thinking. Rule number four: high-pressure environments tend to create little exchange, which results in a lack of meaningful dialogue. And rule number five: low-pressure environments tend to create greater exchange and customer receptivity. Note: he's not saying no pressure. There has to be some pressure to move the process forward. Let's move on to the first step of the Delta Method. Develop interest so customers will hear you. The first step in the Delta Method is to deploy the five key principles to develop a prospective customer's interest. Number one, research to find interesting things to open the dialogue. In order to get your prospect interested in having a conversation with you, you need to grab their attention quickly. One way is to begin by saying something interesting and unique that the prospect didn't know about. For instance, if you were selling a drug for depression, you could say to the doctor you were calling, "I've been doing some research on the internet and I was fascinated to learn who is considered the father of depression. Is that something they taught you in medical school, by chance?" Now you'll either give the other person the opportunity to seem smart or to learn something new. Both are pathways into a deeper dialogue. Number two, use openings that create safe environments. People will only enter a dialogue with you if you create a safe environment. That means you're going to need to make them feel like you're not going to give them a high-pressured sales pitch. Here's how Acuff starts many of his sales conversations, and he swears it works every time. "We do a lot of business with a lot of companies, and we're proud of our work, but that doesn't mean we are right for you. At the end of the day, the only way I will know whether our offering is a fit for what you're trying to do is to understand more about your situation. Before I launch into how great we are, can I ask you a few questions?" Then he'll move into questions about how they landed in that role and what they are trying to accomplish this quarter or year. Number three, bring value to the interaction before you start the sales conversation. Even before you have your first meeting, share something helpful with your prospect. For instance, you might send them a book you know addresses a key challenge they are having with a note inside. As Acuff says, it's about finding something that's inexpensive, unexpected, and thoughtful before you know for certain what they treasure, but not before you know what's important to them. Number four, make connections that can help the customer or prospect. You've probably got the idea now that people naturally want to associate with people who bring value to their life. Another easy and free way to do that is to connect them with other people you know will help them. And number five, be crystal clear about what you need to know and go about finding that out. If you want your prospect to be interested during your first interaction, you need to be ready to talk about the things that your prospect will want to hear about. Make sure you are ready. Engage customers in meaningful dialogue. The next step in the Delta Method is to engage customers in meaningful dialogue. Without it, you cannot help a customer buy. There are six principles to keep in mind at this stage. Number one, prepare for the call, not because it's important to you, but because it's important to them. If the call is worth making, it's worth preparing for. That's because the thing you need to do immediately after getting their attention is to help them understand that you are both credible and trustworthy. The only way you can do that is if you spend time preparing. Show them that you value their time and you're much more likely to get more of it. Number two, focus on their issues and concerns, not yours. If you show up and immediately do a dog and pony show, the fancy name for this is a capabilities presentation, you are not focusing on their issues and concerns. If you are genuinely interested about other people, ask serious questions and listen attentively to their answers, you can have a dialogue with most people. Also, understanding your prospects' challenges, especially the ones that they've been trying to solve but haven't cracked the code on, is where the golden nuggets are anyways. Number three, establish a safe environment by the words you use. Your goal is to understand their situation, not necessarily make the sale. In the beginning of the visit or relationship, your goal is to make them feel safe. This means that your job at this point is to learn, not sell. You want to ask insightful questions so that you open their minds to possibilities they may not have considered. Just ensure that the questions you ask don't burst the bubble of safety. For instance, a question that, if answered honestly, would make your prospect feel bad. Number four, encourage a dialogue. Don't sound like the typical seller. There's an easy way to ensure that you don't talk like a typical seller, by coming in with the mindset that you are there to listen whether or not your company or service can be of value to them. Acuff says that his conversations with his prospects are like the ones he has with his best friends, and he doesn't use sales lingo that's designed to manipulate the prospect into saying yes. Number five, remember all conversations are voluntary, and the ideal listen-to-talk ratio is 50-50. There's not much more that needs to be said here, because you've heard this before. And number six, meaningful dialogue begins with intent and ends with your assessment. Finally, meaningful dialogue should end with your assessment of whether a successful exchange happened. Did you provoke thinking? Did you create a safe environment so that the customer felt comfortable and willing to talk? Doing this reflection will allow you to learn what needs to be done better or differently next time. Learn the situation, problem, or challenge. The goal in this step is to figure out exactly what prospective customers want or need. It won't surprise you that the best way to do this is through more sales questions. Sometimes Acuff points out, prospects are not even sure they have a problem that needs fixing. Sometimes the questions you ask will help them identify a real gap in their operations that your product or service can help fix. Good questions also give you the opportunity to learn how your customers and prospects think, which is invaluable when you move to the next stage of telling your story. Here are three key concepts to keep in mind while you are developing your questions. Intent. Why am I asking this question? The answer should almost always be to learn something or uncover something that will help you see whether or not a fit exists. The goal should be to deepen understanding of the issue on both sides. Content. What exactly do I need to know? Most of the time, you need a deeper understanding of the importance or urgency of the need. Sometimes uncovering facts is the best way to do it. Probing questions that uncover facts and motivations will do just that. Condition. As you are developing your questions, always consider how you can ask them in a non-threatening and safe way. Ultimately, the easiest people to sell, says one of the people Acuff interviewed for the book, are the people who understand what they are trying to do and know what it will look like when they have success. The more needs and wants you can uncover with questions and then address them, the easier it is for the customer to buy. That's why it's important to spend time before you meet with your prospect to ensure your questions probe hot topics that are driving individual and company behavior. Time spent here will repay itself multiple times over as you move to the next step telling your story. Tell your story. When you find that there's a fit between what your prospect needs and wants and what you deliver, it's time to move into telling your story. We won't spend a lot of time on this step of the Delta process. However, here are six principles to keep in mind as you transition from questioning to explaining how your product or service solves their problems. Number one, your story should be based on your competitive advantages. Your story should be about positioning and not competing. Number two, your story should be a combination of features, benefits, questions, and anecdotes. It needs to be clear, repeatable, so they can tell your story internally if needed, and powerfully told. Number three, your story needs to contain both logic and emotion. Number four, Your story needs to be based on solving a customer want and need. 5, your story must help customers see there is minimal risk in doing business with you. And 6, your story needs to be true. Ask for a commitment. Finally, we move on to the last stage of the Delta process, asking for a commitment. This is different than going in for the close. That's because closing techniques force a salesperson to adopt a behavior that isn't natural for them, and it only serves to make your prospects uncomfortable. A commitment in this model means the appropriate end to the current conversation. With that in mind, there are 6 principles to consider when asking for one. 1, people are far more likely to change behavior if you ask for a commitment than if you do not. Most people will live up to commitments that they make to other people. It's a powerful psychological force that you can use to your advantage to keep the process heading towards the prospect becoming a customer or a customer buying more. 2, commitment questions need to be comfortable for you and the prospect or customer. Like every other step in the process, except telling your story, questions will be the cornerstone of your success. The key here is to make sure you ask commitment questions that are both comfortable for you to ask and comfortable for the prospect to answer. 3, great commitments start with pre-call planning. Although every part of the dialogue is important, the commitment question is critical. That's why you should spend time specifically crafting the questions you'll ask. 4, sensory trial closes make commitment questions easy to ask. Before you ask your commitment question, it's a good idea to ask a sensory agreement question to make sure you are ready to move to the next step. Here are some examples. How does that sound? If it makes any sense over the next couple of weeks, when you have an opportunity to use something like this, will you consider giving us a try? Does this seem like a reasonable way to look at it? If you get a yes, move on to the commitment question. If you get a no, it's time to probe deeper. Sometimes you'll get a yes, but. These buts often reveal the real reason somebody is not ready to buy from you. When you hear this from a prospect, follow this 3-step process to get things back on track. 1, acknowledge. Make sure you acknowledge the concern and show that you understand it. 2, clarify. If you're not clear on the objection, ask clarifying questions to gain a deeper understanding. Don't make the mistake of assuming what your prospect is saying, if there's any doubt. 3, respond. Finally, reframe the issue or deal with any misperceptions that they have. For instance, when somebody says, "We don't have the money right now," you might respond by asking them what the cost of doing nothing would be, or how implementing your solution would pay for itself quickly. Principle 5, commitments are the natural, appropriate end to a conversation. This is a mindset. Commitments are always appropriate to end a conversation, and you should never let a conversation end without one. 6, asking for the seriousness of the commitment after someone makes a commitment is perfectly acceptable and will increase your sales if you do it well. If you don't test the seriousness of a commitment, you'll never know exactly where you stand. So in conclusion, you should now see that asking great questions is the cornerstone of any great sales process. Follow the Delta model from beginning to end, and you'll find yourself starting to understand your prospects and customers at a deeper level than you ever thought possible. And that's when you can turn selling into buying.